Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello and welcome to Table Manners, season 10, and we have come back with an absolute bang. In fact, we have a huge, huge comedian coming on.
The biggest comedian.
Takes the pressure off, Mum.
Yeah, biggest comedian in Britain.
And also, I think, really funny.
Yeah, very funny.
You know I'm a bit funny about comedy. This guy is funny.
Jessie, don't say it like that. You're surprised.
No, but I don't... You know what darling, I feel about comedy? I feel like...
What do you feel about comedy?
I just kind of... those.
Darling, we're comedy.
Oh, please. The pressure of going to watch some live comedy is stressful to me. But I have to say, Michael McIntyre makes it very, very easy to laugh. He's amazing. Everyone loves him. Everyone laughs. He's great.
Darling, why have you got a big frown looking like you need Botox?
I'll tell you why. Because I'm late. I'm late and I haven't had Botox. Probably need it soon.
Why are you late, darling?
I'm late because my father decided to
Jessie,
come and
I don't
see...
think we want to discuss this on,
what?
On
well,
the
no,
thing.
It's just standard. My dad, he came to see us, managed to get on 3 wrong trains, even though I said you can walk from New Cross. It's fine. Anyway, that's why I'm late and slightly frowning and actually very much enjoying this rosé. Thank you very much. I thought we weren't going to drink in September, Mum.
I never said that.
But you did.
But I haven't drunk till...
last night.
Last night, and I had one drink.
And I saw you last week, and you drank last week too.
Did we?
Basically, we're doing a terrible job of dry September.
I'm a bit fed up, Jess.
Why?
I don't like this 6 business.
Yeah.
I know some people don't have more than 5 friends, but I do.
Anyway, we are here. We're back for season 10 and we have Michael McIntyre, a podcast exclusive, I believe, talking to us about everything that you love us to talk to them about.
His new Netflix show, I should think.
But the thing is...
but is he touring? Because all the poor buggers have put, along with us, who've had to put our tour on hold. Possibly, is your tour going on hold, Jess?
I know, there was a clash of dates with us and Michael McIntyre. Yeah, it was that O2 10-night run that we just couldn't say yes to because he had them on hold, so yes.
Yeah, but maybe it'd be Wembley soon, darling, because we had to cancel the other ones.
Maybe. But we're so happy to be back. We want to hear from you more. We want to include you within this podcast more. Recipes, life hacks, places to eat. We are just open to suggestions. We want to hear from you. We want to meet you. We want to interact with you. So the email is info@tablemannerspodcast.com. Please write to us. We would love to hear from you.
Jessie, last weekend was a birthday party.
Yes.
So my favourite granddaughter was 4. And tell me about the new additions and their names.
Okay, so we stupidly saw that my daughter really enjoyed the stray cats in Skopelos in Greece where we went on holiday. I mean, to the point where she thought she was Dr. Dolittle and she was there going, hey, little puss-puss, come. Oh, yeah. And they were like, you know, flea-infested, mangy cats. And we thought, maybe it'd be good for our daughter to kind of learn about responsibility and also really good for allergies, I hear. So we were like, should we get one? Never been really big fans of cats.
What do you mean?
No offence, Prince.
We've got
over
a
there.
Cat here because of you.
No, yeah, he's very sweet. But then thought about the pros of cats. Low maintenance.
No
keep
mice.
Themselves to themselves.
No mice.
No mice, exactly. I live in a Victorian
go
house.
Go to the loo in other people's gardens.
Exactly. Mm. That's what I'm really banking
your favourite neighbour.
Yeah. So basically... we didn't only get one, we got 2. Brother and sister, we've called the boy Bob because he's got little socks that look like Bob Fosse, like dancing shoes. The sister, I wanted to call Barbara, Bet. I kind of threw
Darling,
out these names.
Whose cats are they?
Well, they're my daughter's, but...
Does she know about Bob Fosse's fantastic
choreography? No, but she will, because she's starting dance classes on Saturday, because I'm a pushy Jewish mother. Anyway, we went through lots of names. She wanted Susu, Lala. She wanted the name of her cousin, Olive. She wanted the name of her other cousin, River's cat, called Peter. So we were like, we're not getting anywhere. My favourite was when she suggested the name of her nursery teacher, Michelle, who does listen to this podcast. So I'm sorry, Michelle. It's not Michelle, even though I really like that. I thought Bob and Michelle was beautiful. She's gone for fucking Pinkie Pie.
I think it's quite funny.
I mean...
Why Pinkie
Pie? Why does it evoke images of a pink willy? Dog's willy.
I don't think it does at all. It makes me think of a lipstick.
Oh, exactly.
Sorry.
Anyway, so Mum, there's a lot of really exciting cookbooks that have just
come
out.
I know, I've had two last week.
So
I had Sabrina, is it Gaynor?
Gaynor.
The fantastic Persiana cookbook.
One of the best cookbooks.
Ever. And her new book's called Simply.
Yeah.
And I've cooked spiced chicken from that. But I've also do something, one of the rice dishes with green lentils and raisins.
Nice.
But I've done it in my rice cooker.
Lovely.
Yeah. And then I was going to do roasted parsnips, but you told me not to.
Well, I just kind of thought you have the raisins in there. Yeah. It's a bit carby.
I love backseat cooks. And then I've attempted to replicate something that I tasted recently, a tarte tatin. And I used the spiralizer to make thin sliced apples to see if it make it any difference. But I had a bit of a problem with me caramel that went like a Thornton's block of toffee. So I had to then take that out and re-liquidize
it. That's a bugger with getting out.
Caramel. Anyway, it should be okay. Let's hope.
I'm really excited about this series. We have got some phenomenal names.
Yeah.
And we get to see people in the flesh. Sometimes.
Yeah, some of them.
I mean, we are still going to be doing some Zooms because, let's face it,
we can't get to the States.
There's a lot of stars in Hollywood, baby. Anyway, so we are going to be Zooming sometimes. However, the majority will be in the flesh, which has been such a joy to do. You know, having Mel C over in the garden, I mean, that was lovely anyway, wasn't it? But it's going to be a great series.
Jessica, have you got Birkenstock shoes on?
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
I'm a bit worried that Michael McIntyre's going to like make a sketch about
Birkenstock
shoes.
As well.
Oh yeah, so what are you talking about?
I know, but I wouldn't wear those shoes.
Michael McIntyre coming up on Table Manners. Michael McIntyre has come through the door with his thermometer.
What are you, Jess?
What am I?
You've maintained 36.
Oh, thank God.
Cool. Unbelievable. Lenny is probably... It's like... You've shot up.
Because it's you!
A whole degree.
Oh, my God.
Since I've arrived.
You are very attractive, Michael.
Oh, my God. By the time I leave, we will have to quarantine. I'll keep an eye on that, Lenny. You're at 36.3 and you were 35.5 when I arrived.
Crikey. Mom, he's hot stuff.
I'm not hot stuff. I'm 36.
Oh, I'm hot stuff.
You're hot stuff.
Well, Michael McIntyre, you're here. You're fucking hilarious. And you're about to say why you love a Jew.
Why I love a Jew?
Yeah.
Well, I live in North London, which is in a very Jewish area.
Yeah.
In Hampstead.
Yeah.
And I'm moving. I've bought a house in an even more Jewish area.
You're going to Golders Green?
You're going to the suburb?
I'm going to the suburb.
Mazel tov!
That's all we have.
I've made it.
Michael, you've got Kosher Kingdom near. You've got green spans. Your chopped liver and your salt community. You've got a whole community.
I've got a mezuzah. You see,
you've got mezuzahs on the door.
Well, I didn't know what a mezuzah was until I bought my house from a Jewish man.
Yeah.
And I thought it was, because for listeners unfamiliar with a mezuzah, would you explain what a mezuzah is?
It's got a parchment. It's got the scroll inside with a little blessing.
It's like to protect the house.
It's luck.
And it's put on a wonk, which always makes you think, did they mean to do it like that?
No, it's got to go in a certain direction.
I don't know.
And if you're doing it in the wrong direction,
it's a direction
wrong.
Thing. Yeah. It looks like it's been put on wrong.
Yeah, no, it's got to go like that.
Right, so I thought it was just a feature on the door. I had no idea that it was a mezuzah. And the man who sold me the house showed up at the door a week later, and he said, I've come to get my mezuzah. But of course, I thought he was either drunk or having a stroke, because I thought he was trying to say a recognised word that obviously began with N. But his face was just falling apart.
Poor thing.
I was like, what is it, Eric? And he said, I need to collect my mezuzah. And I was like, oh my God, something terrible is happening to this man. And then he started pulling at this thing on the door, and I thought he'd gone mad.
He took them away.
Well, I didn't know what he was
talking about. That's not very
generous. I've never heard of the mezuzah. But anyway, incredibly excited to move in my new community. And this is good.
Fantastic. It's Jewish New Year next week.
You've got to WhatsApp me all the information so that I can keep up.
You know what, actually, Michael, so I'm actually, I'm a bad Jew, but I'm becoming a better Jew. I'm having a bat mitzvah because I have a family of my own and my husband is a goy. We had a Jew-ish wedding, but I've decided to have a bat mitzvah to basically pass down all these things to my children.
For your daughter?
For my daughter and my son to be able to do Hanukkah, God forbid, when mum pops
I did a Passover.
For God's sake, my temperature's only once. Gone up a degree. God forbid when mum goes.
Let's see the latest.
Just see if I'm going.
No, you're still fine. You've slipped up a little bit. We'll keep an eye.
Well, we'll get you a mezuzah, but I feel like that's going to be like, I don't know, would a Jew give a mezuzah to like a neighbour? Luck. Is it like bringing in a baked bread? Or
no, darling, okay. But it's lucky. And I think it's bad form.
Could
that
I
he
sneak
took
a
them.
CCTV camera in it? Just to, is the,
yeah,
is it,
you
can it
could,
be dual
that
purpose?
Would be, that could be dual purpose.
I mean,
purpose.
Look. There's protecting a home and there's protecting a home. I mean, I feel like maybe if there's some kind of that alarm thing, you can get an app. Maybe we should go into business and develop mezuzahs that are also sort of cameras.
Yeah, that's
that you
good.
Could, you know, you can talk to the people.
Maybe and, also with a thermometer for the COVID as well.
Oh, all, please, this will be over
this
soon.
This will be...
All built into the mezuzah.
Yeah, all in the mezuzah.
This is amazing.
This is going to be a mystical,
we'll
magical...
We'll go door to door.
Dragon's Den. Sorry, hi.
In the suburb, me and Lenny will hook up. We'll go door to door in the suburb.
Selling...
We're selling mezuzah...
Tri-purpose.
Tri-purpose mezuzahs. They're typical temperature. They're good for CCTV.
What's not to like?
Another one of my favourite Jewish stories. There's a gentleman, and he'll like that I'm telling this story because he knows that I was started to do it on stage a bit. And I think, oh, goodness, is it Anthony? I nearly forgot his name. Anthony. And he is local. And he, like me, I mean, I don't want to make stereotypical assumptions of Jewish people, but there is a certain neurosis that certainly Jackie Mason would have played
upon. Says the guy who brings in the thermometer, but cool.
And that's what I'm saying. I share the neurosis.
He does.
So myself and Anthony would go and watch our sons play football on the weekend in the park, an organised football thing, and all the other parents would leave, but me and Anthony would stay and would have camping chairs because we were so worried what would happen to our, you know, what would you, a bubblers... What would happen to our bed? You can't leave. We would just sit and discuss. Well, who could leave their children here? It's crazy.
Are you a competitive football dad?
No, not competitive, just worried. No, I discourage any kind of, you know, aggression on the pitch in case he would get injured. I was worried about him. I'm worried about him. And he was worried about his son. So my son gets kicked in a game and I lose it and I run on. And what I shouldn't have done, because he's getting a bit older. And I'm over him and I'm going, you poor daddy's here, daddy's here. And he's looking at me like he hates me. All his friends are going, oh my God, your dad's so embarrassing. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to kiss it better and all this kind of stuff. And then, you know, he said to me afterwards, don't you ever do that again. Don't even come to the games. You're an embarrassment. You're the most embarrassing dad in the world. It was tough. Anyway, it turns out that Anthony, a little bit more embarrassing than I, the same thing happened to his kid, Daniel. He gets kicked. Anthony unzips his coat. Inside it, he's got all these medical supplies.
Oh, how funny.
and he's also got a spray. You know this, I don't know if you've seen it.
Oh, when the proper footballers, they spray to take the pain away.
Yes, they freeze the injury. So he starts running on the pitch. Spray, but he's so keen to spray his child that he starts spraying it while he's running. So he's running and spraying, shouting, Daniel! Daniel! And it's spraying all the time. And as he's running away, you can hear his voice changing. And he's going, oh,
Because he's breathing in it.
Frozen his face. He froze his own face. So he ends up in the middle of the pitch with a frozen face, basically going, it started to sound a bit like anal. So he's standing in the middle of the pitch shouting, anal, 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 anal. And I pointed out, you know, in hindsight, that maybe he was a slightly more embarrassing father than I am. Anthony, yeah, shouting anal in the middle of the pitch.
Is Anthony allowed to go to the games? Did Daniel mind?
I know, I don't think they mind. No, because they're all, you know, they're very protective.
He's been brought up in a Jewish family.
Yeah.
Michael.
Hello.
When did you know you were funny?
That's a very odd question.
Did you used to make your family laugh when you were little?
Really? I like being funny in the classroom, because that's kind of like an audience.
Were you charming with it? I can imagine.
I don't think so. I wasn't that popular. I don't even think I was that funny in the classroom. But I like the concept of it. Whenever I said anything and everybody laughed, I like that.
Felt good.
And I've always been quite in my own head, I think.
Funny.
Yeah, thinking a lot. And then I just really like meeting people and making them laugh. And I don't know, it's when you're being creative, you're very creative people. But there's nothing more exciting when you find a little seam of something when you're trying. Well, I've started writing again, another book. And I don't know how you experienced lockdown, but my brain was melted. I mean, I had nothing.
Didn't function.
I didn't find anything funny because it wasn't funny. I was really scared. I was confused. My wife and I were losing our minds. I mean, she walked in one day and she said, I think I've lost it now. And I was like, what have you done? And she said, I opened the dishwasher. You know when you open the dishwasher and it's in the middle and you interrupt it?
Yeah.
She said, I opened it and I apologised to the plates. She said, spoke. She went, I'm terribly sorry. And then put it back up. She said, I'm losing my mind. So little things like that. Like I was forgetting words and... I spent a lot of time going, what's that word? It begins with a C. It begins with a G. It's really obvious. What is it? Just losing my mind. I mean, I went to take the dog for a walk, and I took, because there's so much to remember. I got the day if you have a dog lead, you need the lead and the treats and the poo bags. I forgot the dog. I was halfway around the... There's no dog.
I could believe that.
No, this is true. So I was losing my mind, but then I sort of re-engaged and... started writing, and which was really, really hard. But then it sort of gets the juices flowing, and then suddenly everything else, you start thinking a bit more naturally, a bit more flow to it.
So what's your new book about?
Well, I wrote an autobiography, and it sort of stopped in 2006.
You're carrying on.
So I'm just carrying on. Yeah, which I thought would be quite hard, but actually, I love writing about the details of life and everyday stuff and remembering. It's really nice to remember stuff and take a moment to reflect and remember, you know, when the kids were little and when my wife was pregnant and where we were
living.
How
many children have you got?
We have two boys.
Two boys. Yeah. Are you going to have any more?
No, I don't think that's
You're quite young.
Possible. Is that possible?
I don't know.
Want to
Do you
know.
Want to tell us?
I think now with the age gap and the age of everything. Yeah. No, I think that we definitely just have two. But we've done that. That's why we went into dogs. Yeah. That's why into dogs.
Yeah, I just got two kittens this week. And I think it was a bit of a hold off to maybe have it instead of having the third child. We got two
Jessica.
Kittens.
Jessica.
Yeah. So you've got two.
I've got two kids and two kittens now.
Right.
So.
More kids? Is it? You want lots
Do you
of
want
kids?
More kids?
I don't mind if you have more children.
There's no pressure there.
What are you? Are you one of...
Oh, I've got a strange set up. I've got a sister, and she's my... We both have the same parents, but then I've got all sorts of half-brothers and sisters.
So big family?
Well, not really, because they're half-brothers and sisters. They're all over the place.
We want to know who you're going to choose for your two more people at Christmas.
Oh, because of the six?
Six, yeah.
Struggling to make it to six, to be honest. That was one of the benefits of all this.
Oh, yeah. You'll just be able to have the four of you.
We really just like hanging out together. So, yeah. No, I don't think there's going to be any kind of big lottery over who gets to come round. It tends to be my mother-in-law. So it tends to be five. So
it's always five.
It's five.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have a spare, if anyone wants to say, if it's groups of six.
I'm pushed out.
Yeah, well, if you're pushed out, you're very welcome.
Well, I want to know what you think about this, because I have no kitchen at the moment. We moved into a house. We've got like a makeshift kitchen. It's not big enough for a turkey.
But
with all
Tessie,
the trimmings.
We can do it here and you
no,
can
I know,
talk.
But there's, you know, in-laws and as much, they love you.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's all of that. So my husband suggested having dinner, Christmas dinner in a pub. Have you ever done it?
No. Ooh, no. Darling.
And how do you feel about that?
I think we did go for a pub lunch once in the countryside.
And was it
in
good?
In Somerset.
Did it
no,
work?
Jessie,
no, it's a
awful.
Bit weird because you spend a lot of time
dreadful.
Looking at... There's a thing that happens on Christmas Day itself where there's such a magic to the day because there's such a build-up. Mm. It's Christmas. And then finally when it comes, everything looks a bit different. Mm. Like if you see someone drive past on your road, you're like, oh my God, look at them.
Yeah,
on Christmas Day.
Yeah, on Christmas Day. Where
are you Christmas right? Day in the morning.
And exactly. If you see three ships go sailing by, you're like, oh my God, there's three ships yeah. go sailing by.
On Christmas Day on Christmas in the morning.
Wow. Even an aeroplane in the sky. You'll go, oh my God, where are they going? St. Lucia on Christmas Day?
In the morning.
It's yeah. so, but then when you're in a pub, you're so fascinated by everybody else sitting there. You're like, my God, what are they? Look at them having their...
So isn't that really always, fun?
Yes. Well, I don't know. It's a bit odd.
People
are
watching.
Too much
really
overlapping.
Depressing.
Too much overlapping of how are they doing? Story. Are they having fun? And then it gets a bit competitive. I do get a bit competitive with wanting to our tables be having a bit more fun. Like, we were just on holiday. We managed to go on holiday. And we had this... we were having breakfast in the mornings outside where our room. And there were some people on the other side of the wall having their breakfast. And they were having a lot of fun. Good, big family. They were big, I mean, they were proper big family laughter. And we were always arguing on our side of the wall. And it was bad enough we were arguing after 5 months of lockdown. But it just rubbed it in that the neighbours were having such an amazing time.
Were they English?
They were English. They seemed quite local. They were using sort of local references. I think they were from the suburb.
The suburb.
They sounded a bit... it's the Golden Suburb.
There's never been a TV show called The Suburb, has there? I think you should write a whole sitcom about the suburb.
I don't know how the suburb would
feel mezuzah.
You know what, I'd have to apply for
secret
planning permission
suburb.
To write that.
The Jewish Chronicle, you'd have to.
I'd have to consult
them, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I want to get on with everybody.
You're going to have to get a subscription to the Jewish Chronicle, then.
Oh, yes, without a doubt. No, I've sorted all of this out.
How exciting!
I'm very excited, but, you know, it's
have
a
you moved
building
in
site.
Yet?
No, it's going to be months. It's a building site. I took the, on reflection, an extraordinary decision to buy a house 1 month before a global pandemic. Of course, nobody knew there was going to be a global pandemic, but I've been umming and ahhing over moving for so many years. We've been looking at places. And I suddenly, you know, there's a big sort of, I'm going to just do it. I'm going to take the plunge. Let's just buy it. Let's do it. Let's do it and we'll do it up and we'll rip it up and we'll build our own home. And then, of course, this nightmare's happened.
But it is, do you know, today, I thought there's a global pandemic and we only had six people. It's kind of, you still kind of think, gosh, this is really shocking what's happening.
But it is shocking.
It is shocking.
And it's going to be a blur, you know, when it's over. And it will be over.
When will it be over?
I don't know. God, I wish I knew.
I have to say, though,
is
you...
Is it in the diary?
I don't
you
even
got,
feel it's
you
gonna
did
be
your
over.
Netflix special at the beginning of March, just before lockdown
March
hit.
March the 6th. It was unbelievable.
God.
So this was a tour I've been doing on and off for like 2 years around the world. The Big World Tour, it was called. And we didn't... I normally film it when I'm at the O2. And that was like in, I don't know, a year and a half ago. But
when
didn't.
You're usually at the O2, you're so huge, Michael. Like,
no, don't be silly.
No, it's like...
You are massive.
It's just ridiculous, isn't it?
You're huge,
leave all
Michael.
That in. Leave all that in. So I normally record it there, but then because, you know, it's different with Netflix, we have to sort all these things out, you know, it's a new world. So, I was in New York at the beginning of the year. I did the Radio City Music Hall, which was just so
fabulous.
Exciting to be able to do something like
What's
that.
What's the name of the girls that performed the...
Oh, yes,
the Rockettes.
Yeah, they weren't on that night.
Oh.
Yeah, no, I went to see them. I didn't perform. Oh. You've got the wrong end of the stick. No, I did.
I thought they were on before every performance.
Oh, no, they weren't.
Oh, no.
I don't think so. Okay. So, you know, I just remember it like another world. That was in February. And then I came home, did a few warm-up gigs, and then at the Palladium... I recorded the Netflix special on March the 6th, and it was just starting around then. And I did a joke about it. I introduced myself off stage because it was all the hand washing was starting, and I said, "Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together and wash them for 30 seconds as we welcome Michael Magda." And, you know, because you were just starting, and then I referenced it a little bit. I actually came on and said, "This could be the last time we ever get together." in a crowd.
Fucking prophesized this shit.
I know.
It's your fault.
I said it as a joke.
Your fault.
My fault.
Your fault.
I should never have said that.
You should never have said that.
Does it stay in the Netflix special?
No, I took all that out because, you know, I just... Who knows what's going to happen? There is some odd jokes in the Netflix special, which I'm hoping is still funny, but it's worried me slightly. I have jokes about face masks, but this was at a time when, obviously, no one in the world except people in Asia were wearing face masks, and it's a very silly story about me going for a massage in Hong Kong. And
having to wear a face mask.
Well, no. And you know, when they give you those massage underwear, mistaking the massage underwear for a face mask and putting the underwear on my face and going in, which was a very big joke for me. But now it's like people are watching that joke thinking, well, of course you would have a face mask. Of course you would. So it's like extracting all the humour out of it. So apart from that very small bit, I'd like to hopefully recommend the rest of the Netflix special, which should be still funny.
What's the difference? I mean, I've seen you talk about American audiences, but are you, like, you're quite popular in America?
Then? No.
No?
No, no, just started to try to be.
And how's that going?
I just did Radio City. It was the first sort of
thing. It was really big.
The second gig I did in America. But these are just, you know, a small number of people who know who I am. I've done nothing in America yet. And I suppose I would like to a little bit. I did the Montreal Comedy Festival last year and I was flying to LA afterwards, and you go through customs there at the American side in Canada. And I had one of those visas, the O-1 visa or something, but I was traveling on a tourist visa. So they're very serious, very scary with the guns and everything. Yeah. And he was like, okay, why do you have a, you got an O-1 visa? I was like, yes, yes. You know how you always get so nervous at customs?
No.
Because you're like, they could probably...
They're terrifying.
Yeah, and you over-laugh at everything. Yeah. And British people lose their minds. Like, oh, yes, no, we're fine. And they talk too much. And they really, they just... And they're so slow as well. They slowly go through the passport.
And they're not terribly bright, I don't think.
And they're not... And they're
scared.
Mean.
Yeah,
and they look at you
like... They're
mean
and not bright.
Yeah, and they do that thing with the kids where they go, which ones? And they say the name and then the kids sort of aren't looking.
And you try
just look at the man. Look at the man. Look at the man.
And you try and make a joke.
You try and make a joke. No laughter. Toughest audience in the world. So this guy goes, why are you traveling on an O-1 visa when you got an O-1 in your passport, but you're traveling on a tourist visa? And I was like, yes, I have a I can work in America, but no, I'm going on holiday. Anyway, what do you do, sir? I said, I'm a comedian. He went,
tell us a joke.
he said, would I have heard of you? Which is a really odd thing to say. Would I have heard of you?
I have the same when I say I'm a singer.
Let me answer that question for you. Obviously, you haven't. I'm at passport control.
Yeah.
You're holding my passport. You've got no idea who I am. So I'm feeling at this point, maybe you don't know who I am. Anyway, then I said, I'm trying to break America. Now, the problem with the phrase, I'm trying to break America, is it means nothing to Americans.
Oh.
It's only British people who try to break America. People who live in America don't break America. He heard the words, I want to break America. So he just literally went, you want to break America, sir?
Oh,
and I was
God.
Like, yes, I'm hoping to. Not this time, but I'm going to come back and, yeah, I'll be breaking America. And I was, I'm going to smash it. And I was getting, because all these hostile terms, you know. And he just, you know, he thought I was...
A terrorist.
Basically, yes.
I think so.
Mad.
I was forced to go on a little diet after one of the... You know the machines where you put your passport in? When it's not a person, but you put your passport in and it opens? You know the machine that... The e-passports?
Yes.
One of those machines was quite rude to me.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Well, I go in the thing, right? And I stand. You know, you stand and you look in the thing. You've got to,
It's only your face.
I had my glasses on, which is very, very boring, time-consuming. Because the thing comes up on the screen and it goes, take your glasses off. So you take your glasses off. I've got no idea what the next thing's saying. So that took a while. You know, you put the thing in the thing and it kept not letting me in. And then it came up. And you know what it said?
What?
Only one person.
That's so cruel.
What do you mean so cruel?
But no,
it was clearly a technological mistake.
No, they thought you were two
Jessica.
People because you took your glasses off and then put them back on. So you
no, because I was too wide.
No, you were not too wide.
No, they were definitely measuring the distance and they thought there were two people.
Well, there were not.
Which brings me on to, shall we have some dinner?
Yeah.
I'll sit still. But we actually haven't asked you anything about food. I told you were going to be asked about food and, you know,
I'm really
food
happy
memory.
To be here.
Good.
You're such nice people.
you're having a spatchcock chicken.
It looks fantastic.
It does look good. Oh, we have to say that the butcher, we go to Ginger Pig, and the butcher said to Mum, who have you got on? Because they give us so fun.
I said, Michael McIntyre, and he said, tell him Steve sends his love. And I said, do you know him? He said, no.
Well, that's really appreciative to Steve.
You're a man of the people, aren't you? You're just kind of, does everyone feel like they can come up to you because you're so kind of likable and you talk about life.
I like it when people do that. I like it when people just think they know me. I get a little bit bruised egotistically when they don't, especially when they're coming to the door and I have to sign for something. And I tend to open it in a quite dramatic, we weren't expecting this, were you? He's like, sign here, please. You know, that takes a little bit of coming back from. But no, I love meeting with people and I love that. I love it when people think they know me, because they do know me, because all my comedy is just very much a reflection of what's going on in my life and my kids and whatever happening, and my dog.
Do your kids ever have an opinion on saying, Dad, you can't put that in? Like,
it's not fair.
No, they
don't really care about what I do, actually. I've been desperately trying to make them think I'm remotely cool for years, and I can't do that. I can't do it. I'm always playing catch-up, actually. We sat down years ago to watch TV on a Saturday night, and I realised there was...
This is slightly overdone.
Oh, well...
That's my fault.
It's upside down.
It's
like...
It's called a taglet. It's called a rice cake, but I've slightly burnt it.
Oh.
Sorry.
No, I
left it on too long because I've lost my confidence cooking.
Oh, forget it, Mum. You were laughing too much.
Why would you lose your confidence? That is a remarkable looking thing.
You just don't have the crispy bit, which is the best bit about it, but it's fine. Yeah. You just won't have that, but it's fine. So you've been trying to be cool to your
children. Yes. Trying to be cool. Yeah, we were watching Saturday Night Telly, and there seemed to be nothing we were all getting into. We started to watch as a family. You know, you get into that section of life where, you know, they're not going out, they're not in their room, that we're all together.
That's kind of... But that's why I'm doing the bat mitzvah, so that my kids have to stay in on a Friday night.
Right, because they...
Friday night dinner, kids, you're not allowed out. We've got to, you know, rest.
That's important. That's a great...
Do you like that?
...tradition.
And Friday night is always the best party.
It's sacred. I love that.
So carry on.
So that's why I started doing my Saturday night show, the big show. I thought, well, I'm going to do that. They'll be proud of me, and it's a family, and I'm a family guy now. But then, of course, by the time it's made, they've gone past that, and they don't want to watch TV on a Saturday. Now all they're doing is watching YouTube, and so now I'm thinking I've got to get on to YouTube and Netflix. I mean, listen, why do you think I'm on Netflix? So that to try and impress my children, who still don't care. I'm like, Dad's on Netflix. Dad's on Netflix.
Are you ready for a glass of wine? Are you still kind of...
Well, it'll change me.
Into what?
I get very emotional.
Jesse, do you want some chicken?
I get very emotional and quite quiet. let's not have a drink. We'll have one at the end. I'm having a bite. Is that okay?
Yeah, do you want some? There's some green things there if you want.
That's very yummy.
What's it like?
I need to get you some juice.
It's really yummy.
So, do you cook at home? Or's your wife?
No, I don't cook. I've not cooked yet.
Can you cook?
No.
So you didn't really have a sourdough. You didn't have a sourdough starter during lockdown.
Oh, well, I did a bit of. I did all this. Everybody tried this stuff in lockdown. I tried to make. I made a cake. I did pizzas. I did make a cock o
fam. Fam. Riesling. That's what I'm going to do.
We were just talking
week.
About that before.
It's just so yummy, that sauce.
Is it just creamy, winey sauce?
Yeah, and onions.
It's creamy and winey and oniony.
I was pretty proud of that, to be fair. So I got into it in lockdown. Yeah, I did all this stuff. We cut each other's hair and all that rubbish.
So okay, you've tried a cocker Riesling in... growing
just
up,
delicious.
Who was cooking in your house?
Well, the staff... I'm joking. My mum was a great cook. I mean, she was one of those... I mean, my mother, not Jewish, wants to be Jewish so much. Calls herself a Jewish mother, but isn't one. Her father was Jewish.
Jewish Hungarian. We knew.
Yeah, he was a Hungarian Jew. And I went to Hungary years ago to meet some of my family out there. And I was shocked to find out they're all Jewish. I mean, like, really Jewish. Big, bearded
Big Jewish
Jew.
Oh, like,
couldn't believe
Lubavitch
it. And I've never got on with people better. You know why?
Why?
didn't speak a word of English. It turns out, if you are related to someone and they have a natural love for you,
yeah,
but you can't communicate,
what happens?
All you have is love. Then it's just love.
That's so
it's just love.
Sweet.
The problem is when you speak the same language, that's when the shit starts. There's no conflict with someone going, you want, oh, yes, I love it, bye. So that went really well. But yes, they were all Jewish. So she did a lot of that, all the cooking. And, you know, I had my favourites. Unfortunately, I don't want to be rude, but I have a bad memory of this chicken pie. There was a chicken pie made at school, and I loved it. I don't know why I loved it, but I loved it at school. And my mum was trying really hard to make me my chicken pie because I really liked
it. Did you go to boarding school?
No, I went to day school. And
In London,
I would have occasionally the chicken pie. And I said, Mum, I really like the chicken pie. And it had flaky pastry.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember clearly.
They
I
made
don't think I knew.
Chicken pie for lunch.
She made, yes, it was good with flaky pastry.
Fabulous.
But she made that, what's the other pastry? The thick.
Short crust.
It was like a really thick.
What, like a quiche?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like that hard,
short crust.
Thick, short, crusty, and the
and you
chicken.
You wanted puff.
It was just horrible. And she made it, and she always would make it as a treat because she thought it was my favourite, but actually it was my least favourite.
Oh, couldn't you have just said to her, Mum?
Surprise.
Oh, darn.
I've made your chicken pie. And I'd be like, ooh, God, not that chicken pie. I'd kill for the one at school. But other than that, she was an amazing cook. Although we did have an egg off once when my wife was my girlfriend and we went to visit my mum and my sister was there and I organised a little egg making sort of master chef competition that my wife still brings up. And this must have been 20 years ago because she was victorious. Everybody had to prepare scrambled eggs, blind tasted by the rest of the family.
And your wife won?
She won it.
Why did you do this? Are you a big connoisseur of scrambled eggs?
Just trying to inject a bit of fun in the day.
Are her scrambled eggs really good?
You have to do it slowly.
My wife is an incredible cook. I love her style of cooking. You know, it's amazing how unique cooking is to people. Even though a lot of people just are following recipes, but it's their cooking. It's like, people are so unique.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's happening.
What?
I think I'm going to go for the rosé.
I thought you were going to make a joke. You looked at the spoon, I thought you were going to make a joke about the spoon.
No, I did pick up the spoon, but it does help that the spoon wasn't that funny.
Do you like rosé?
Well, I do like rosé.
Yeah, me
I'll
too.
I'll tell you what I like about rosé. I like, well, of course, I love the colour. I
me
tend
too.
To like the bottle shape.
Me too.
I
That's
like the
a
word.
Funny one for rosé, though.
I like the word. I like it when it's nice and light like this.
Yeah, me too.
And I like it when it dawns on us, when it's sunny outside, that we should not have red or white. And we should have rosé. And it's always suggested in a very excitable rosé.
It's kind of, yeah, it's had a rebirth,
sure.
Don't you think?
We have rosé.
Yeah.
Rosé.
Yeah.
Should we have a... It's lovely and sunny. Darling, have we got any rosé?
Yeah, I know.
Whereas red wine is quite a depressing.
Yeah.
We should have red.
Red.
Or white. White's a bit more up. Because for me, red, I mean, sometimes I really feel like red. I really feel like red. Because that's just, I feel like red's a bit of it. It's like a big hug. I'm not going to move much.
I can open the red if you want.
What did you bring?
No, I don't want a big hug.
What did you bring?
I bought a red.
I feel like that's what you bring as well. If you don't know somebody, maybe you're safe with a red.
Yes, I think you're right. It is a bit safer to bring red. It feels a bit classier. Thanks. Is it a bit
more gravitas?
Thanks. Yes, it is a bit more gravitas. What, red? I'll be honest, I don't know much about wine. I just know one red that I know that I like.
What is it?
So I bought that one.
Oh.
It's the only one I know the name of. So I bought it.
Chateau Neuf de Pape.
That's the only one I know.
Oh, it's fabulous.
So do you have Chateau Neuf de Pape on the old rider, or do you not drink before a show? No, you won't drink.
Many years ago, before I was successful in any way and I wasn't funny on stage, I suddenly started having Jack Daniels and Diet Coke before a gig. I would have like a swig of it. Basically, I reached a point at the end of the festival, it would have been 17, 18 years ago, and I just was dying on it every night, getting no laughs at all. And I sort of gave up, and I thought, and I was had to do the shows because they're every night. And I just had a drink before. I was normally having a drink after. And I just downed this Jack Daniels. And I just felt, loosened right up and had a great show. So then I went into a sort of, then I felt like I always had to have one. That's a danger. Mm. If you do something and it has a knock-on effect, you think, well, it must have been that. I'll keep, superstition.
Quite superstitious then?
Well, it turned out that I was with regards to the Jack Daniels. So I had Jack Daniels before a gig for a couple of years before I managed to shake that. But
do you still drink that, Jack Daniels?
No, not at all. I mean, I've drank strange drinks. I've got.
Go on, tell us.
Well, I like a drink. I like a drink that every time I mention it, people like lose respect for me.
Go on, what?
I don't know.
Like what?
Every time I say it, and I know you're going to do it.
Okay. Archies and lemonade.
Snowball.
No, it's not that bad. Okay. And I don't know why it's bad, but people certainly of sophistication. Now, don't feel like I'm judging you if you don't now disrespect me as if you're not sophisticated. I've got you in a complete web here.
No, go on.
It's fine.
I do like at the end of an evening. I will like a. I can't say
a Baileys.
It's not as bad as that.
What
it
are you
might
talking
about? Be worse.
I love Baileys. What Cointreau?
I like a limoncello.
Do you like it?
I
some
think
people
that's quite
love
cheap.
It. It's quite sophisticated.
I think it's disgusting.
It's just
but
lemon
I don't
and alcohol.
Like it.
I can't drink it. Look, you see, that's
no,
the face
it
I get.
Tastes like disinfectant.
But it's not cool. It's not cool. It's not like
I think
brand.
That's quite Mediterranean. Cool. Yeah, I think it makes you feel like a bit of a kind of mafioso.
My friend Johnny pours it on his ice cream.
Oh, have you tried it on the ice cream? Oh.
Have you had olive oil on a pistachio ice cream?
No. Ooh.
Holy shit. It's like a whole new world.
Oh, where did you have that?
There's finding a vaccine, and just below that is pistachio ice cream.
Where did you find that?
Seriously.
How did you know that? How did you come across it?
I would love to tell you that I was reaching for my pistachio ice cream and accidentally knocked over the olive oil.
Someone did it for you.
I was in this Italian hotel and I said, I'll have a pistachio ice cream. And she stood there with the olive oil. And I thought, this bitch has lost her mind. I was like, what the hell are you doing, babe?
Grab her ribs?
We've moved on from the salad. Hey, sleepy. What first day, is it? And she went, excuse, is it okay? Would you like to try a little bit of olive oil on the pistachio ice cream? And I was like, okay, psycho. I think let's just go along with this and, then report you. So she pours the olive oil on the pistachio ice cream and it is mind-blowing.
Oh my goodness.
This is great.
Never even thought
it's
about
mind blowing. The texture of the oil and the pistachio, it's unbelievable. I leapt to my feet and I would have hugged her if it wasn't for social distancing.
Were you just in Italy then?
Yes.
So this is a new revelation.
A terrible thing happened.
What?
Are you supposed to be quarantined?
The hotel gave us all the symptoms of COVID. But it was nothing
Why
to do
Why are you here?
But it wasn't the virus, it was the hotel. So obviously it was very hot. So we were very hot. The air conditioning gave us terribly sore throats. The swimming pool, this is true, nothing I'm saying didn't happen. The swimming pool had too much chlorine in, and my children came out with these terrible rashes. And the food was tasteless. And I said to my wife, we have to complain. And she said, darling, if we complain, we'll be quarantined for 2 weeks.
Because loss of taste.
They're all symptoms. No, but you think I'm making this up, but it's true. And I'm not going to name the hotel because it's cruel on them. But the food was bizarrely tasteless.
I just know what this place was.
Until this extraordinary moment.
Was this in the hotel?
Olive oil on the pistachio ice cream.
With the olive oil on the pistachio ice cream. Which was... It's one of... there are those moments that you will always remember. And some of them are very harrowing. The death of Diana.
Yeah, I know.
You always remember where you were. I will never forget
Hard Rock Cafe.
John Lennon.
I will never forget when that pistachio bathed in local olive oil entered my palate.
And?
I masticated. Now, I'm going to have a sip of wine.
And then it's all going to go downhill.
This could go any way.
Would you like some dessert?
Yes.
Let's see if I've done better than the...
I still haven't had the sip. I might have it. I don't. I'm toying with it.
While Mum does the dessert, which is a tarte tatin, so you're going to get the puff pastry tonight.
A tarte tatin. Now, can we talk about the words tarte tatin and how... how to say it without...
sound like a dick.
Yes. What do you think? Oh, I think it looks magnificent.
Look at the face.
No, you're very judgmental of each other.
Bitch.
Look, we're published authors now, you know, cookbooks. So I have an issue with when people say ciabatta.
Oh.
Ciabatta.
More than happy to discuss this issue that you have. Now, you want them to say ciabatta.
I just want them to say ciabatta. You want them to... because we're from London.
So basically, do you know what? I completely concur. I don't like it when people try to say things how they're supposed to be said.
Yeah.
We don't have that accent. We're not from there.
No.
I think it's up to us to interpret any word how we see fit.
So how do you say tzatziki? Do you say tatsiki? That does upset me when they don't say it right, though.
I don't think I would say tatsiki. No, I'd say satsiki.
Yeah, but then...
wow! We need to pause here and sit in satsiki. There's no other word that goes twice as well. You're going tatsiki. So it's T-S. Because we're all about the S-T.
Oh, you're right.
T-S. We don't have any TS.
You know
words
what? Here. I have to say, and you're going to learn this living in the Hampstead Garden suburbs, there is such a thing in the Hebrew language that says, that what's it called? Anyway, I'm fucking. So,
there are some
words. You love words, don't you?
There are some words
you
that
love
I will always struggle with. I always struggle a bit with croissant. Croissant.
So, what do you say?
Well, because it's.
Croissant.
I got to be honest, whenever I get to the point of saying croissant, I freak out a bit. And I think, God, I don't know if I can do this. I get actually quite nervous because it's, for me, it's more of, it's just a noise, croissant, croissant. Because some people go croissant, don't they?
Yeah.
They go croissant.
You might not want to.
I've also got an issue with February because...
February.
It's got an R in it. What is this R?
Shit,
is it supposed to be there? Is it occasional? February. Is it... because people go February and completely ignore the fact that it's February. But then if you go February, you sound like a bit of a weirdo.
Yeah.
So I just go Feb and then I just lose my mind. I just go February.
Delish Feb.
I just back out. I just go February. Do you want some tzatziki in February? No, I'll have a croissant.
Mum, this is really nice.
Really good.
And the cream...
with that,
no, but he's not got any cream.
And what happened?
Have the cream.
I'm going to go for the cream.
I have to say, if you like a bit of olive oil on your pistachio...
Oh, no. It's not pouring cream.
No, I know.
I'll be here a while.
Try cream on ice cream.
Cream on ice cream?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's honestly the best thing in the world.
What's going on?
No, it's
cream.
On ice cream.
On ice cream.
It's super...
have you tried cream on ice cream with ice? I've just made that one up. Ice on ice cream cream. Have you had ice on cream ice ice? Yes, no, I see what you're doing.
Don't knock it until you try it, Michael.
Talk
to me
about
it. It's very delicious. It's just heaven. It's heaven.
Yeah, but why would you get involved in enjoying an ice cream and then adding cream as well?
Because cream is the best thing in the world.
So you put cream on everything?
No, I can't because I think I'm slightly lactose intolerant, but... I love it so much.
I can't have ice cream in cream after this conversation.
Why?
Because I've got to be careful.
No, you don't.
Why?
Well,
I'm making
this
Netflix.
I've got this show.
Can you say
I've
what
this
it is?
Show in yes. It's called The Wheel. I can't believe when I say that.
What is it?
It's a wonderfully fun show. It's a game show. It's a quiz show. I don't know what it is. It's my idea. I've come up with this idea and we were going to make a pilot and I was going to do my big show and do the pilot for this idea because it was really fun. But now, because of what's happened, I can't do my big show. And it turns out that the format of this show that I've come up with is no one needs to be near each other. So we did a run.
What's it on?
It's on BBC One and it's coming out in
fantastic
November.
Have you filmed it?
We just did a run through yesterday. We were doing run throughs on Zoom, which was really weird.
Yeah.
So yesterday was like a huge day because we were going to find out if it actually worked. And it was really fun. So we're building this big... I mean, I can't really tell you exactly how it works.
Is it like Wheel of Fortune?
No, it's like it's a wheel. I'll show you a picture and then people can't see it, but you can see it. But basically, they're building it. It's a wheel where celebrities sit on the end of it. And they spin around and they answer
questions.
It's
like it's a knockout.
It's not, I'm not explaining it very well.
Is it a quiz?
It's a quiz.
Okay.
But it's going to be on BBC One and...
And you're presenting it?
I'm presenting it. It's called The Wheel and it's going to be great fun. Fantastic. I hope so. It went really well yesterday. So I kind of always have this plan to lose weight. And you know, one year I did. I actually did it.
How did you do it?
Well... Interesting story.
Oh, God, sorry.
Say tucking into the Haagen-Dazs.
It was amazing timing. I went to that bloody clinic in Austria. I went to the Mayer Clinic.
Why did you
How was
that?
It?
Because I wanted to lose weight. I thought enough's enough. So I went off to the Mayer Clinic and...
On your own?
Well, it's really awful because I took my friend. He's called Paul Tonkinson. He's a comedian as well. He actually does a very good podcast about when he goes running with his friend called Running Commentary.
Oh,
he's a very sweet man, and he's a very good friend to me. And one thing he absolutely is, and I must be honest about this, he is slim. Oh. And he came with me to keep me company, and he lost so much weight he nearly died. Stop. And we also had a horrible moment, and he won't want me saying this, but they would give you... I don't know if I should say this at this moment while we're eating.
No, correct.
It's a bit grim. What they do there...
It's not colonic...
It's quite bad, but I'm just going to go for
colonic irrigation.
There was some of that.
Oh, God.
Make you drink cement?
You drink these Epsom salts.
Oh, yeah, I've done that.
That make you...
Vomit.
Well, no, yes.
Clears you out.
Yes, clears you out. So you drink the Epsom salts first thing, and then within, like, 20 minutes, the whole of the clinic...
Rush to the laboratory.
Are all rushed to the laboratory. And then we went on a hike on, like, day one. And I said to Paul, I was like, God, those Epsom salts are pretty intense, right? And he was like, didn't work on me. He's not in Northern. Nothing happened, actually, mate. I was like, what are you talking about? I was like, I'm hollow. I'm a hollow. You're looking at a hollow person. And he went, sorry, mate. I did everything he said, but it's had no reaction. Anyway, we're walking along, and I kept talking to him. And I turned around, I realised he wasn't there. He wasn't walking next to me anymore.
What, he disintegrated?
He disappeared. And I... No, he hadn't lost so much weight.
He was shitting in a bush, wasn't he?
And then I just heard from the woods, he just kept shouting, stay back! Stay back! And I was like, Paul? He was like, stay back!
Poor man.
And I was like, Paul, are you there? Are you okay? Don't go back. And I just had to go back to the hotel. And I say hotel, I mean, it's a clinic. But yes, no, he did a shit in the woods.
Poor bloke.
I know, and he nearly died. And then I had enough. I lost a stone, and we're only there 6 days. We're supposed to be there a week. And I thought, I can't do this anymore. I was so emotional and depressed and confused. And Paul was about, you know, he was about, you know,
he'd
like
lost
three stone. He was like skeletal.
He was Christian Bell in The Machinist.
And I went round to his room and I said, Paul, I booked us a Ryanair flight. We're going to get out of here. I can't do this anymore. And he like dropped to his knees and burst into tears.
He was so grateful.
He was so grateful. He was like, thank you, mate. Thank you.
Because he was trying to be loyal.
He was
to
just
you.
Wanted
He's
to look
nicest
after
guy.
Me. He's so nice.
Oh, my God. You need to tell us what your last supper, best meal would be. Oh. Starter, main, pud and drink.
I've always had an issue with them. The last supper question.
Well,
it's
yeah,
a bit depressing because
I know.
There's quite a lot going through
but
my mind right
no,
now.
No, you will
I'm
just
going to
don't
die.
Think about dying.
Okay.
How can I not?
Right, you're going to the Mayo Clinic for six
right.
months.
Oh, and it's my last meal
before you go. That's a good one to do,
Which may result in death anyway, but I understand what you've done. Whew, this is a very good question. I mean, I've always played safe with what I think is my favourite meal, because I do struggle to enjoy anything better. And you might not, this is a very straightforward answer, but I might change it.
Okay.
But I do love a home-cooked spaghetti bolognese.
Oh, spag bol, you can't beat it.
It's just something quite magical about it.
Yeah, I agree.
With the parmesan and the big mince and the onions and the... It works. Even though Italians aren't interested in it.
No.
And every time I've ordered it in a hotel, it's horrible.
Yeah, it's
If you order it, it's all watery. But home-cooked spag bol.
Yeah.
Oh, this does taste very yummy.
Who makes it, then? Your wife?
Yeah, and my mum made it, and now my wife has taken over the reins of the spag bol. She's passed the pasta.
But what does she do that's special about hers?
I don't know. I don't know if there's a secret ingredient. It's just really yummy.
Well, actually...
The longer it sits, I mean, second day, dare I say. Second day is probably better than the first day. Mm.
Does she put wine in?
I think there might be a little bit of wine. I mean, I'd have it with a nice red wine.
Yeah.
Does she put milk in hers?
I don't know what she's doing.
Puts milk in hers.
Really?
Yeah.
Milk in there. And two sugars? No. I think he's mixing up his dishes here. Can I get some spaghetti bolognese, please? Milk and sugar? Yes, thank you.
So you'd have that. Okay, so that's your main...
Well, my other things... I mean, I do like...
I think anybody's done spaghetti bolognese, you know. And I really like
it. It feels
that.
A bit go-to.
Most people do spaghetti vongole to show off.
I wouldn't go with vongole. I can't be faffy. I don't want to... I don't like eating anything that involves more work.
I know.
I don't want to be open to finding things in clams. I don't want to be opening pistachios. I don't want to be getting the mussels and I can't get this one open and my fingernails are going all funny. I don't want any work.
Yeah.
You order a lobster and it's like you're going to... surgery's about to happen. There's all these tools show up. It's like, you sort the food out and I'll pop it in my mouth. But something they come over and go, would you like it off the bone? Well, why the fuck would I want it on the bone? It's like, what the hell? What do you think I am here? Yes, I'd like to risk my life as well as not enjoy parts of this meal. No, you prepare the food. All the thing that always annoys me is when they go, black pepper? Do you remember they come over with the thing? Would you like black pepper? I don't know. Am I the fucking chef? Why don't you ask the chef if it needs black pepper? And then I order the food, you cook it. If it needs, why leave out one ingredient and see if I know that it needs it?
I've never tasted it yet.
That's back off with your stupid big pepper.
I know, I hate big peppers.
It's quite like aggressively phallic as
and
well.
And then they, yes, it's like a big show-off thing with the big pepper. It's stupid.
Do you always say
Parmesan cheese, and they sprinkle it on the top and then leave. Why? If I would I you only the first
parmesan.
Bites?
Yeah,
get the parmesan.
Right.
I know.
Why should I have first?
I want a whole bowl next
Just leave me the bloody bowl if it needs parmesan. Oh, I only have to have fun for the
I agree
bit
with
here.
You.
Yeah, I
completely
totally agree.
That's an absolute nonsense.
Also, if you have any pasta with fish, they won't give you any parmesan. You say
is
to them, I'd really
confusion?
Like that. I'd really like some parmesan. They go...
No, or everybody else hasn't had the pasta with the fish, and he goes around the whole table
yeah, and
doing
doesn't
all
offer
the thing,
you.
And then he gets to you and he just leaves. You know, like, yeah. What the fuck?
Yeah, I know, I agree.
Do you ever take a cheeky little... chunk of parmesan
oh,
in the fridge.
Of course.
Yeah,
only nice. When it's fresh.
Oh.
No, I don't like it when it's gone a
Tell
bit
me
dry.
About your fridge work when you're alone and hungry and maybe you've had a drink and it's just you in the fridge.
Cheese.
How low have you been? How low have you gone?
Cheese.
Is it basically cheese? Wait, not straight in the mouth, not teeth marks in the cheddar.
Anything. Any cheese I would eat.
But you'd cut a slice off.
No. Oh, yes, I do.
What do you have when you go into the refrigerator?
Well, I mean, I'm going to be honest, anything. Everything's a suspect. I mean, I mean, I'll consider any option, cooked or uncooked. I have to say, I do work the mayo pretty hard, especially a squirtable.
You're kidding.
I'll work the mayo. No, no,
Okay, yeah, right.
Guys, squirt on a bit of ham or something.
Okay.
But it's good, or an egg, or a hard-boiled egg or something. I'll work a bit of mayo. But no, I suppose the thing I'm most ashamed of over the years, because I'm not a cook, and when I'm just hungry, and maybe if I've had a little red wine, or if I... It's normally when I've done a show and I maybe had a drink there and I get back and I'm just a bit peckish or I'm feeling good about this show and I'll think I will reward myself, but there's nothing to eat. There is something that I've done over the years and I feel bad about it. It's pretty grim.
Come on.
It's pretty grim. I'll go sweet corn. I'll leave it in the tin.
Mm.
I'll drain the water, but not even all of it necessarily. And I might add a bit of mayo. Ketchup to the tin.
Corn and mayo ketchup.
And I'll just eat out of the tin the sweet corn. cold.
So it's kind of sweet corn Mary Rose.
That's exactly what we're talking
about. Yeah, ketchup with tomato
sauce. Now that you
sauce.
Put it that way, it sweet actually
corn,
is quite
it sounds quite good.
Sweet corn Mary Rose.
I yeah. we
and my wife's found that sometimes in the morning and just looked at me like, what am I doing with this bloke?
Yeah.
What am I doing with this man?
Okay, so what's pudding?
Do you need some more water?
Pudding. I'm struggling with the pudding. Oh God.
Maybe it's the
pistachio with olive oil.
Do you know what? When I was eating it, I did think this is one of the best things I've ever had.
Yeah.
It really depends on the quality of the pistachio. Yeah.
And the olive oil.
And the olive oil.
Don't want an aftertaste.
And the bowl.
Oh, wow. And the bowl? Was it a glass bowl?
The waitress. She has to have one of those deep olive tans. Yeah. Oh. Those only Italians can get tan.
Yeah.
That, like, are you kidding, tan? Yeah. Then I think that I would probably go for that, but that's a very new thing. But in general, I don't really get very excited about puddings. I just don't. I don't really like cakes. My family are Oh, no. Do you know what this is? You know, it's fascinating for me that you've asked me these questions and my answers are so childish. These are things I've clung on to my whole life. But I absolutely love chocolate mousse. I just love chocolate mousse.
Chocolate
and I don't
mousse.
Think I've had it for years. But I used to look at
I would have made you one.
At chocolate mousse in a big bowl and think... I used to say... I don't know if I would ever stop. If somebody gave me a vat of chocolate
mousse,
you'd
carry on.
I don't think I could stop. Because it's light and yummy. And I don't think I'd ever stop. Until I just like exploded.
It is really
and
good.
And it was coming out of my eyes and stuff.
And with cream, that's also really good.
Yeah.
What's your karaoke song?
Wow, so many.
Really?
Can you sing?
I love karaoke. I mean,
really?
I'm the only one in my family who likes it. I bought a £2,000 karaoke machine and no one will do it with me.
Can we borrow it for Jesse's bat mitzvah?
What are you talking about?
You can absolutely have it. I mean, I've got it in storage. I went to storage today because I've had to put all this furniture in storage. And I saw it and I just looked at it longingly, but my wife will never let me put it up.
Is it big? Is that why?
Well, I bought the wrong one. Okay, I didn't realise. I said it like I'd invested in this money. I didn't realise it.
Pub.
I did it wrong. I did that one. Even the guy who bought it round, he was like, you know, this is for pubs.
Yeah.
So it's like a real system.
No, the speakers are this big. There's two of them.
Because you love it so much.
Stack. But yeah, you can't get it wrong. If you get the wrong key, I mean, you know how to sing very well.
Well,
but singing is for most people. If you get the wrong song, it's just a disaster, isn't it? I don't know why I'm looking at you. How's your singing?
It's okay.
Yeah. So I suppose every time I listen to why can't I think?
Are you rock and roll or heavy metal?
Well, I do. There is a song I always think I'd sing it. So there's a. I always think Bruce Springsteen's Dancing in the Dark I'd be pretty handy at.
Yeah,
and that's low.
Yeah,
Dancing in the Dark, that's quite good. You're fine, you're safe.
Check my look in the mirror.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that. I think I'd be good at that.
Yeah, I think so too.
I did karaoke one a long time ago. I sung a very weird song, but I nailed it. Abracadabra by the Steve Miller Band.
Abracadabra.
I heat up like a burning flame.
Woo!
Burning flame full of desire. Really enjoyed that one.
Love
that. Great voice.
Well, and if it's the right song.
I know.
And then I did, but I won't remember it. I had a great one. Because we hire these karaoke women at these parties to celebrate the end of the show. And then, have you heard of this gospel-okey thing where they come and sing it with you? There's like a gospel choir and they sing the
song. Oh my God, so it's like Sister Act 2?
Yes.
Wow.
Gospel-okey. They're really good.
I love that. That's your bat mitzvah for parties.
So it means Chester. You don't get it.
Wow, you really like karaoke.
No, I don't.
Gospel-okey. This is amazing.
Gospel-okey. Instead of having the machine and some cheesy guy, you've got like five gospel singers.
Which is so much better.
And they sing with you.
Oh my God. So you feel like the child in Romeo and Juliet, Baz Luhrmann's Romeo and Juliet. Brother and sister. So you can have that. Everybody's free. Yeah, otherwise, you're bloody Lauryn
Hill.
Well,
I think I sung...
Winner, winner.
Like a soul... I think I sung like a, your love, that one, is lifting me higher
Jackie Wilson.
Than I've ever been lifted before.
And then you have the,
so keep it up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah, fabulous.
Your parties sound fun.
Yes, but not the year before because I chose the wrong song and it ruined
what
the
What was
whole.
The wrong
oh,
song?
Oh, God, it was an 80s song. Oh. And it was just, it was a last minute swerve and it ruined everything because I couldn't get the key and it was very embarrassing. But yes, what's your karaoke then? I mean, your own.
I don't like it.
You don't like singing.
But I do like the idea of gospel karaoke. You've got a great voice.
Yeah,
I just
I've got a gorgeous voice.
If it's the right song.
No, yeah, you've just given us four different songs.
Were you
and
a choir
they're all brilliant.
Boy?
No.
At school?
No.
No?
No, I wasn't.
You could be.
A choir boy?
Yeah, but you kind of look a bit choir boyish.
What do you mean?
I feel that little strong. Angelic face.
You don't think it's too late?
No. It is a bit late.
I think I've missed that. Mr.
Boat. So, okay, we managed to have you over for dinner because we are celebrating. Oh, hold on, the phone number says that. Am I okay?
36.9.
Oh, I've gone down.
36 dead. No, not dead.
Fuck.
No, that means 36 on the nose.
On the nose.
So not you're
you,
dead.
Let me see what you... 36
I didn't pronounce
dead.
You dead. No.
What are you now?
How are you?
You'll have to tell me. What is it?
36.8.
36.8.
I've gone up haven't I?
Michael, you are hysterical, you are brilliant, and you have your Netflix show that is out.
It's out on Tuesday. It's the 15th. It was probably already out.
So it's just come out.
It's just come out. You can watch it now because I've seen the weather forecast and it's like a
Wednesday.
Bloody heat wave. So no one's going to watch
no.
anything. Everyone's going to be outside in the garden.
Yeah.
So when you want to come in the garden, watch the Netflix special. It's called Showman or
and
Showman.
That's you.
How would you say it?
Showman.
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 Because some people go Showman. Showman.
What do you say?
I don't know.
Did you choose the title?
Yes.
So you must have an opinion.
My opinion is this.
What?
I think I change sometimes between showman and showman.
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 Would you say it's the greatest showman? Or the greatest showman?
Well, I'm familiar with the word man, and I normally say it like man, so why has it suddenly become man? Showman.
The greatest showman.
I think it's Showman, and it's on Netflix. And in order to watch it, I don't know how you find it. Type my name in? Because you know everyone's Netflix is individual to them.
Yeah.
So if you've never watched any other comedy, it probably won't come up.
Well, you just, put Showman in. Showman.
Showman.
Put Showman in.
Anyway, I hope you enjoy it. It's been a pleasure being here. I've had great fun.
Oh, good.
I'm a little bit drunk now. But you're so fun. You're so nice. You've got a hilarious relationship, the pair of you.
Oh, well, thank you.
You know, really. Yeah. I really like both of you a lot. This is great. If my new Jewish neighbours are half as entertaining... as you guys.
They probably won't
I will
be
putting that house on the market.
I'm not gonna lie, I've never laughed that much ever.
How's your pelvic floor?
I nearly wet myself and I nearly I don't want to say it. Like, I was laughing so much, I was worried I was going to wet myself or fart because I was laughing so much.
Jessie, don't say that. We don't want that.
I was laughing so much, Mum. It was...
He was hysterical.
But I love, usually, he's
timing,
big time.
But he's also, he's so observant and remembers things and that's what makes him a great comedian. I burnt the tadlich.
Mum, it's delish. I'm exhausted from laughing so much.
I am too.
That's brilliant. There you go. That's season 10 funny. Started with a bang.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening. The music you've heard on Table Manners is by Peter Duffy and Pete Fraser. Table Manners is produced by Alice Williams.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.